At this time in the United States, we're in the midst of the fallout from that terrible murder of George Floyd, who was killed by policemen. But you know, I like to say that he was not killed by policemen, but he was killed by people, by bad people who had infiltrated a police force. Because those policemen who killed him were not acting like real policemen. They were acting like criminals. And the way I see it is the vast majority of people involved in law enforcement are good people. All the people I know involved in law enforcement are really good people. They entered law enforcement for the purest of reasons, and they want to help people. They care about life. They want to even help the lives of those who have gone down a path of crime. I hear stories of police people who, even in the midst of dealing with crime, would try to, in a little way, move someone's life on a better path. Someone I know who was a prison guard had the same sort of mission when they worked in their prisons, and they told me of how they tried to help people better their lives. The vast majority of police are very good people and deserve our respect. But you know, when you get a handful of people that enter a police force for the wrong reasons, it's like a virus that enters a system and causes all kinds of trouble. I saw a post on Facebook from a friend of mine that showed a video from Twitter that made an analogy from the problems in the police to the problems in the priesthood. The priesthood had and has had very similar problems with priests who had done some horrible things. But you know, the vast majority of priests are good people. They entered the priesthood for the purest of reasons, to lead people to know the love and truth of Jesus, to live the gospel, and to help others on their life's journey. But when you get a handful of men who entered the priesthood for the wrong reasons, such as the uniform or the power or identity, they cause all manner of trouble. And when a system doesn't work to address this virus, either in the police or in the priesthood, the sickness gets worse and worse all the time. When I first heard of the death of George Floyd and then saw that video, two words came into my mind: human dignity. Human dignity. And I saw his death as a trampling of human dignity. Now, the phrase human dignity was something that I never really appreciated that much until I was in college. And when I was in college, I was not a practicing Catholic. I mean, I was Catholic, but I didn't really care much for the Catholic religion, and I kind of defined myself as agnostic. But someone introduced me to the life story of Pope John Paul II. I had no idea who he was. I thought he was just an old man who had no relevance in the world. And I started to study the life history of Pope John Paul II, and it captured my heart, his life story. When he was a young man in Poland, his name was Karol Wojtyła, and as a young man, his country was invaded by the Nazis, and they brought their evil into Poland: lies, torture, and death. And young Karol Wojtyła had many friends who were Jewish, and many of his friends who were killed by the Nazis. That's how he had his formative years in his life as a young man. And then, after the Nazis, came the communists, who claimed they were liberating Poland, but their liberation was just as bad. More lies, more torture, and more death. Two completely opposed ideologies, Nazism and communism, but Karol Wojtyła understood one common thread that they had, that they shared: a failure to appreciate human dignity and a trampling of human dignity. And he saw that firsthand. Now, when someone sees human dignity trampled, when they see violent death and injustice, it changes them. It can break them. It can really cause a trauma in their life that they can never really overcome. But you know, Karol Wojtyła, when he became Pope, every country he went on this mission of proclaiming human dignity, the dignity of every human person. And that inspired me because, you know, he could have come out of that horror that he experienced in Poland as an angry and bitter man who felt that life was no good. But he came out of that with a mission to uphold the dignity of the human person. I used to see him on television a lot in these days when I was in college, and I look at his eyes, and you know, they would say, they say the eyes are the window of the soul. You know, sometimes you look at someone and you look in their eye and you feel like something's not right with this person. You don't quite know what it is, but you feel like something's not right. And then you look in the eyes of someone else and you feel like there's a tremendous goodness in them. There's a purity, there's a light within them. Well, when I would see John Paul II on television, I would notice his eyes. And of course, this was me sort of projecting my interpretation upon the TV screen, but I looked into his eyes and I would imagine that here's a man who had seen with his own eyes the trampling of human dignity. And as he would gaze upon the multitudes of people who would come to hear his teaching, he would look around at them and it would almost look like, at least to me, knowing his life story, that he could see, he could perceive the dark abyss that all of humanity could fall into when humanity does not appreciate the dignity of human life, when people don't appreciate their own human dignity and the dignity of others. And he would teach all of these multitudes about human dignity. It was as if his mission was to teach the entire human family about the value of every single human person. And his preaching was so powerful. It really inspired you. I would listen to him preach and I could hardly understand him when he spoke English because he had such a thick accent. But you would listen carefully to every single word and he made you feel good about yourself. He made you feel that life is worth living. He made you feel that you had a value that came from God. I remember when I saw this video of his first trip to Boston as Pope, and I think it was in Boston, and he said, God has given each of you a dignity as human beings that is beyond compare. And his preaching, it like lifted people up. It was as if he could perceive that dark abyss that people could fall into if they don't appreciate human dignity. And he didn't want to let that happen ever again. He saw it firsthand, and it was a hell on earth, and he didn't want to see that for anybody. He made you feel that life was worth living, and he called you to better yourself in living the gospel of Jesus. Now here in the United States and in the whole world, this lesson of John Paul II on human dignity is one that we have to learn and relearn again and again. I want to share to you a few quotes from his first encyclical that he wrote, I think in 1979, is called Redemptor Hominis, which means the Redeemer of Man. And in this letter, John Paul the Great is talking about the person of Jesus Christ, and he's talking about the mission of Christ in saving humanity, the redemption of the human race in the person of Jesus. John Paul the Great said this, now remember when I read these quotes, remember the context of his experience of seeing the trampling of human dignity so badly in his own country and in the world. Christ the Redeemer fully reveals man to himself. This is the human dimension of the mystery of the redemption. In this dimension, man finds again the greatness, dignity, and value that belong to his humanity. That quote of John Paul II, it teaches us that in the life of Jesus Christ, in his holy life, in his teaching, in his suffering, his death and resurrection, somehow we can learn about the value of our own humanity in each one of us and in the whole world. John Paul II in this letter talks about how we need to enter more deeply into the mystery of the life of Jesus. And he says when we do this, it's going to bring forth in us adoration of God, but also a deep wonder at himself. That is to say, we will adore the mystery of God, but we will also have a sense of wonder at our own humanity. He goes on to say, how precious must man be in the eyes of the Creator if he gained so great a Redeemer, and if God gave his only Son in order that man should not perish, but have eternal life. Those words of John Paul the Great mean that since Jesus came to us, since he came to us, born of the Virgin Mary and taught us, it means that every one of us is so precious in the eyes of God and so valuable. Think of Christmas. Think of the message of Christmas. God becomes our friend in the person of the child Jesus. And the angels proclaim this good news of great joy for all the people. And they say, glory to God in the highest, and then peace to humanity. So the coming of Jesus to us, it leads us to adore the mystery of God, but also leads us to recognize how precious our own humanity is. And this preciousness, this dignity, is a dignity that comes from God Himself. It's put in us by His act of lovingly creating us and guiding us. This human dignity is always with us. Everyone has it, no matter their race, no matter their successes or failures, no matter their virtues or their sins. George Floyd had human dignity, and his dignity was trampled upon. This is a lesson that everyone needs to learn again and again, and I hope that we learn this, the value of human dignity. This is a lesson that people who commit acts of violence must learn again and again. Can you imagine if gang members lived this lesson of John Paul II, this value of human dignity? If they did, gang members would be peacemakers. Instead of going out and terrorizing our neighborhoods, they'd go out and they would clean up the city. You know, they would get together and say, well, tonight at 2 a.m, we're gonna sweep the streets and we're gonna paint some beautiful artwork, we're gonna repair the playground, we're gonna help feed the poor or something like that. If gang members could learn this lesson, there'd be no problems with gang violence anywhere in the world. It's a lesson of human dignity that must be learned even by the people who killed George Floyd. They're gonna have to learn this lesson, and they can learn it. They can learn it. I knew 2 permanent deacons who did a lot of work in prison ministry, and their mission was to teach the inmates who had committed horrible crimes the lesson of human dignity, which is a lesson of the gospel. Everyone needs to learn this lesson again and again. We need to learn this lesson of human dignity in our relationship to others, in every situation, in our workplace, in our communities, in our families. This lesson of human dignity will move us to treat people with truth, with justice, with mercy and compassion. We need to learn this lesson of human dignity in our own personal lives. You know that image I use of the dark abyss into which humanity can fall if people don't appreciate human dignity? Well, this dark abyss is something that we can fall into personally when we don't recognize our own personal dignity, our own humanity. People can be broken by life. They can be struggling each day and get to the point of despair. And we need to learn that lesson of our own personal human dignity. It's there. It is there, and it will never go away. John Paul II goes on to say this: in reality, the name for that deep amazement at man's worth and dignity is the gospel, that is to say, the good news. It is also called Christianity. In other words, he's saying that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ leads us to have a sense of amazement at human dignity. Doesn't mean we put human dignity above God, but they're 2 realities that are connected permanently by God's will. John Paul goes on to say that this amazement at man's worth and dignity, this amazement determines the church's mission in the world. And so the mission of the church is to uphold the human dignity of every single individual human person. And we do this one sermon at a time. We do it one parish at a time. We do it one apostolate at a time. Everything the church does must uphold the dignity of every human person. And when it doesn't, the church is failing its mission terribly. The church is not about its mission of the gospel. It's about some selfish thing. Our mission from God is to uphold human dignity in the whole world and in the lives of each person. We live in very difficult times, but I'm convinced that this message from John Paul the Great can really bring healing to the whole human race, this lesson of human dignity. Do you know what John Paul did when he was a young man to defend human dignity? what he did to speak out against the madness that trampled human dignity. What he did was he wrote plays and acted them out in the theater in Poland. And it was quite risky, but he would write plays that would illustrate the story of human dignity and what it looks like when it's trampled. One of my favorite things that I love is when musicians use their gift of music to defend human dignity. And oftentimes you have musicians who write some of the most powerful songs that can raise people's awareness of human dignity and stand up against its trampling. Every one of us needs to find a way to teach others about their own value, about their own human dignity. We need to understand this for ourselves also. So brothers and sisters, in this dramatic time in our country and in the world, may we renew our appreciation for human dignity. This is what God wants us to do. It's the call of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And when we teach this lesson of human dignity, when we embrace it for ourselves, we ourselves can be happier. And in our own little way, we can help others to be happier and to have more peace in their lives. God bless you.